Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. All kinds of stuff to talk about today. Wayne Allen Root, as soon as we get him, is scheduled to be on the show. We got the shutdown. We've got the Republican Party members of the Central Committee. We have called for a special meeting to talk about Britta Horn. And then Trump, it's kind of an interesting, and I want to talk to you about this, interesting legal theories. He's pardoned a whole bunch of people regarding election stuff. And which begs the question, Tina Peters, is she next? He pardoned like 77 people, kind of an interesting theory of law. But let's see. Okay, but we've got Wayne Allen Root with us right now. He needs no international TV.
He needs no introduction.
National TV host, commentator,
Libertarian vice presidential candidate.
Wayne, hey, thank you for your time today and welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, great to be on. How are you?
Good. Hey, I want to talk about your lawsuit, but first, obviously, sort of the breaking news, the Senate vote on the filibuster shutdown. Your quick take on that.
Obviously, we had to end the shutdown. There was no choice. The entire airline industry of the United States is in trouble. So what else can I say? I think the country's headed in the wrong direction. I think we got a lot of problems. I think government sucks. I was happy the government was closed. Doesn't affect me. I have nothing to do with government. I don't collect a government check in any way, shape, or form. So my life was fantastic for the last 6 weeks. And I think we saved money every day the government was closed. So if you really ask me, I wish government was closed permanently. But the reality is that if it stayed closed and people started starving on the street because they didn't get their food stamps, they would all blame President Trump. The media would blame President Trump.
Yeah.
The GOP would blame President Trump. So it had to end eventually.
Right. Well, let me ask you then, because we were victims of this, too. You have filed a $100 million lawsuit against Stanford University, social media companies for censoring you on TikTok, TikTok and everything else. And we also were censored and banned from YouTube, and we're kicked out for being a danger to the community for saying something as outrageous as masks were ridiculous for children to wear.
But why, quoting our governor.
Yeah, quoting our governor, who's a Democrat.
A Democratic, progressive governor, but it doesn't matter.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and why?
Well, first of all, the important thing is to be able to sue because you've got damages, and we've hired forensic experts who could prove that I've lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million because of the censorship of this government. So the government, Stanford University, acting in conjunction with the government, and all the social media companies who chose to censor me working with Stanford University and the government. So that's why we filed the lawsuit. You've got to be able to prove economic damages and economic losses. You got to prove exactly how much was lost. And I have a tremendous tremendous business now with tremendous amount of sponsors paying huge sums of money for my radio and TV and podcast shows. And all of them were badly damaged by the last 5 years of horrible suppressive, censorship, suppression, silencing, Soviet style censorship, Nazi style censorship. So we decided to sue. And if I'm successful, and we'll see if I'm successful. I mean, the biggest problem is going to be liberal judges trying to throw the case out because they are.
Where's it filed?
What's that?
Where is it filed? Where's the lawsuit filed?
Where? Well, that's the whole point. You can only file where you're allowed to file. Because we're suing Stanford, you have to file in Northern California. Because we're suing Google, you have to file in Northern California. There is no choice.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it. And you look at what President Trump is doing now. He's talking about suing, BBC, and I think that sometimes you have to fight back. For too long, I think, people just sort of took it, right, and said, oh, well, at least we can be on X now, right? But I think unless you hit them in the pocketbook, it doesn't change. And, and not to mention the fact that, oh, hey, by the way, you turned out to be 100% right in everything you were saying, right?
Correct. Well, what I said in my column that came out a couple of weeks ago when we filed this lawsuit is that, yes, I turned out to be 100% correct about everything. There are many, many, many millions of people around the world. No one knows the exact number, but probably somewhere between 15 and 30 million dead as a direct result. And I said 15 to 30 million dead as a direct result of the COVID vaccine. Who knows how many were harmed by the masks? Who knows how many were harmed by the lockdowns? How many children will never recover psychologically? How many children have been damaged for the rest of their lives by the vaccine and by the masks and by the lockdown? You know, their entire lives changed. The way they look at life, positive versus negative, completely changed. Their fear of being out among germs completely changed. Look at Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's daughter. The poor girl can't even go out without 52 masks on her face. And it's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen in my life. It's pathetic. She needs an army of psychiatrists for the rest of her life. These people are all crazy, but they've been made crazy by the media and by the government that suppressed us all and tried to change our lives. So, look, I did it because I wanted to sue them. I wanted to punish them. I don't believe they should go unpunished. But I also did it because if I managed to overcome the gauntlet of liberal judges, and we do, in fact, either settle or win a lawsuit for a tremendous amount of money, the next thing is many others will jump on board. It'll give others the courage and other lawyers the carte blanche, you know, the green light to say, wait a minute, Wayne Root won, we can win for our clients, and suddenly the avalanche of lawsuits will begin. So I think a lot of it depends on how I do. We'll see. We'll find out next year.
That might be the kind of thing, like I said, we were banned from YouTube and then Facebook. I mean, Facebook was putting us in jail all the time, but YouTube just banned us for life, right? For saying that. And it certainly hurt our business. We're podcasters, right?
I mean, we lost tens of millions. Yeah, right? Yeah. Maybe we'd have a little trouble.
But still, and we weren't the only ones, and you weren't the only one. And I think so thank you for, and thanks to President Trump too for doing this, because like you said, at least it sends him the message, and maybe lawyers won't be so scared anymore, because, you know, they hurt lawyers, they hurt doctors, anyone who tried to speak out, they threatened, you know, and if you can win or at least make some groundwork,
get a settlement.
Yeah. That would just be terrific.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan. So we shall find out where this goes. There's no doubt in my mind that Stanford did what we're accusing of doing. I mean, it's been in the news that the government paid tremendous sums of money to Stanford University, and they set up a specific department at Stanford to coordinate censorship of anybody who was against the COVID vaccine. So we know what they did, and I know when my censorship started. It started right about the time I started talking about the dangers of the COVID vaccine. So we know what happened. We all know. Whether I win or lose, we all know what happened. We all know what this government's capable of. And we all know what will happen if Democrats get in office again. They're not even shy about it. No, they all say it out loud, you know?
Yeah. Right.
When I heard you coming on, I was dying to ask you, and you may not have an opinion, you can just say that, but do you have an opinion on the civil war between Shapiro and Levin versus Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly? Do you come down one side or the other of that divide?
Yeah, I'm somewhere in the middle. I got to tell you, first of all, listen, I've been MAGA. They can never criticize me. I don't know what Levin is. I don't know what Shapiro is as far as MAGA goes. I don't think either one of them was truly MAGA and truly Trump until they knew he was going to win. Tucker is another one, though. A lot of people go, well, oh, Tucker's on the good side. There are emails. Does everybody have short memories? Tucker said in emails basically that Trump was an idiot and a moron and he was glad he lost so he wouldn't have to deal with him anymore. So Tucker's no better than Levin or Ben Shapiro. So I'm not a big fan. You know, I'm someone who's argue on both sides. First of all, you're not going to win. We are not going to win as MAGA, as GOP, as conservatives, as the Republican Party. We are not going to win unless we are all on the same team. Ronald Reagan used to say, if you agree with me 70% of the time or more, we're not enemies, we're best friends. And that's what I've been arguing, that everyone needs to stop the bickering. But the problem is my belief, just this is not something I know, this is not inside information, it's just my gut instinct. I believe Tucker and Candace Owens and people like them have been paid millions of dollars by the government of Qatar and by other Muslim-oriented countries and governments and organizations to say terrible things about Jews in Israel, and they're causing a massive divide in the Republican Party and the MAGA movement, and it's hurting us badly, and I think Tucker should shut his mouth, and I think Candace Owens should shut her mouth. As I said on Newsmax TV this weekend, I said, look, I'm not here to tell you I'm Israel first. I'm America first. You know, Israel might be number 20. There's at least 19 other issues far more important to me than Israel. But Israel's always been on the MAGA list. From the day I supported Trump, when he came down the escalator, I made a list of the top 20 reasons why Trump would make a great president. And Israel was number 20. I knew he'd always protect Israel. He will always be the world's biggest protector of Israel. That's never going to change. They're very naive if they think they're ever going to change Trump's mind. Trump is an Orthodox Jewish grandfather at this point. So you're never changing his mind. He will always be the best friend of Israel. Doesn't mean you can't ask questions. You have every right to ask questions of what's happening in Israel and, you know, whether we should support this or that. But overall, it's part of the MAGA movement that Israel's one of our greatest allies, one of our best friends, and we should not be fighting over Jews. Tucker Carlson should not be screaming about whether Jews are the chosen people. Candace Owens should not be defending some of the actions of Adolf Hitler. These people, to me, are an embarrassment. Tucker cannot put someone like Nick Fuentes on his show. That's disgusting and embarrassing. It's a horrible thing for our movement. And I must tell you, I have lots and lots and lots of very successful, wealthy Jewish friends who used to be large donors to the Democrat Party, and they've all come over to the Republican Party because of Trump and the fact that Trump defended Israel. And all of a sudden, along comes Tucker and Candace. That's why I say they're being paid off. Along they come, and they destroy all the progress we've made with important people on Wall Street and Silicon Valley to support us and fund the Republican Party's battles. And they come along and try and divide us. It is a gigantic mistake.
Well, I'm not sure that's in the middle. I didn't get a whole lot in the middle.
I'm in the middle.
We know you got to go. You're so busy. So I want to thank you for your time. Please keep this posted through all of your postings and your shows.
The lawsuit and everything else.
Yeah, good luck and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I hear. I said I'm in the middle because I'm not anything but America first. Never right. Israel first, which I think some of the others are. So I'm for Israel, but I'm not making it the number one issue in the world. Number one issue is the border, and number two is the economy of America. That's what matters. All right, guys, thank you. God bless.
Right, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Wayne Allen Root there, filing a $100 million lawsuit, good for him, for the censorship. You know, I have to say, I agree with him on that, right? I think to
what part do you agree with?
I agree.
You think Qatar is funding Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson?
Well, I think that's been proven.
No, it hasn't been proven. In fact, it hasn't been alleged. This is the first time I've heard that allegation, and I follow this a lot.
For that, I mean, some of his funding. Well, okay. I have read that before. Where I say I agree with him is I think that it is an unnecessary distraction that people are using for their own personal agendas and perhaps financial gain on a number of levels. Of all of the things that this country has to worry about, Israel, I agree with Wayne Allen Root. It's like way down there, about 20. We got a lot of other things to
talk
about.
But it isn't way down the list for the people who are funding the Republican Party. It's very high on the list of those. And if the Republican Party is not going to be supportive of Israel and its wars, against the Arab republics, then they will not support the Republican
Party. I think I'm saying don't support it. I'm just saying that I think of all the issues for Republicans to be talking about, this is blown up by people who have specific agendas that have to deal with their own personal benefit, not the country. Right. I mean, that's my feeling. Like Tucker Carlson, like Candace Owens, like Megyn Kelly. I mean, I love Megyn Kelly, but this is
Mark Levin. You love Mark Levin.
This is awesome.
And Shapiro. You like Shapiro?
It's clickbait. It is clickbait.
It's a war.
Clickbait for,
it's a war.
Exactly. Wars are clickbait. Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
there's so many other.
That's what the Japanese said. Hey, we got a clickbait.
I'm telling you, is the average Republican person.
The average Republican person. You have an opinion, and that's
feel
a good
free
opinion.
To let me express it. Yeah,
well,
I just think it's a fake war that people are using to benefit themselves in some way, shape, or form, and they're not using it to benefit the country or the MAGA movement. And I think that so we should quit talking about it too, because I think
why can't we talk about
because all that does is fuel it.
So we have to shut up about that. We just attack Tucker and attack Ken, and then we have to shut up
because
they don't shut. You did so. You absolutely attacked him. I mean, I am in the middle, unlike you.
I did,
in the sense that I support Israeli actions in Gaza and everything else. However, I think Tucker and Candace are absolutely right. If you say anything that's contrary to Israel, you're going to get defunded and you're going to get try to exclude you and shame you and isolate you. So there.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the
All right.
shutdown. The shutdown
There you go.
has ended. Well, at least is ending, although it's kind of complicated here. So the shutdown, the Senate voted. I mean, it's
They voted to invoke cloture.
yeah, they voted to end the filibuster, basically. And so now Rand Paul, you want to slap him? He's saying, oh, okay, now that we've done that, I'm going to hold everybody hostage to get my little thing done so we can't actually open the government. So we'll see what will happen with that. But it's now over at the House. And so they have to vote. But it seems to me, now you tell me if you disagree with this, but it seems to me that the Democrats orchestrate everything. I mean, Republicans truly do have chaos, and it's like herding cats. The Democrats are not like that at all. The Democrats, everybody, they may appear to be not in lockstep, but they are. And I think so. And so I think they let eight people who probably could benefit it from it in their home state say, "Okay, we'll vote with Republicans to, get rid of to end the filibuster so we can move forward." But somehow, and I suspect that the Democrats figured, "Okay, we have gotten as much out of this as we can." And therefore, it's time to move on before it starts coming around to bite us. I think they were always going to do this after the election, which turned out even better than they hoped. But with the, I think Trump was brilliant saying, if you're an airline air traffic controller, I'm going to give you a $10,000 bonus if you come to work.
Yeah,
And
there you
if you
go.
don't come to work, you're going to be penalized for it.
You're gonna be
That'll,
fired, not penalized.
yeah, well,
Fired.
that'll be, and that'll be, that's an incentive.
There's an incentive, yeah.
Because you all know you're going to get paid eventually anyway. And I
Might as well
mean,
get fired.
well, there's no air traffic controller who's like in the snap. I mean, if they are, they've
Oh, you're wrong about that.
poor money management.
Guarantee, I guarantee it. I
Me
guarantee it.
too.
All of them get SNAP benefits like everybody else.
So the way I understand it, okay, so what do you expect the House to do and how quickly do you expect them to do it?
They tend to they'll vote whatever the agreement is, a 2 week continuing resolution, 2 week, 2 month continuing resolution, and some of the other things that if it go up again, military pay and SNAP benefits are not part of the one, which will make it even longer closure. And I think they'll approve it. I mean, the Republicans are like, you're correct, herding cats, although I'll have to say to the credit of Trump and the Senate really
Yes.
the Speaker in the House, they've really, they have
It's because Mitch
very
McConnell is like home in bed or
well,
something.
thank God he's home in bed.
Yeah.
Can't we just,
No, they did hold the line.
yeah, so I'll give him credit. They were going to do the usual sellout, and Trump came in. This is the beginning of the one and said, no, we're not going to do this thing. We go, okay, give us $1.1 trillion to go to all our famous NGOs
Right.
all around the world, which really comes back to us. He said, no, end the talks. Good for him because when we negotiate with Democrats, we're not good negotiators. We're kind of like the WASPy, what do you want for it?
Well,
Okay.
it's a uniparty, right? They all kind of want the same
Well,
thing.
no, it's just Republicans are not used. Anybody's ever been to Istanbul and the market there, and there are other Middle Eastern ones where bargaining is just it's part of the normal course. In the United States, it's not. You usually don't go, I don't want to pay this. You don't go to Walgreens and go, no, that's a little high. And so it's they always get robbed.
And so then, though, then they have to actually then deal with the budget. And that's where Rand Paul is. He's getting, it depends on where you read. I've noticed this. He's either getting play or not getting play. But he is now saying, well, okay, so I voted to end the filibuster, but I won't vote for the bill unless you remove this hemp language, which agree or disagree, you kind of want to, I mean, what do
What's the
you,
hemp language? I thought he wanted hemp in there.
well, maybe it has to do with the regulation of hemp. And
Well,
you're
God
right. I
dang.
don't. I was reading it too, and I'm like, so what's he for? What's he against? And
You're
why
probably.
hasn't he mentioned this before?
Yeah,
It's like,
before it's all because he didn't like excess government spending, and now it's just drugs.
a sudden it's like weird. I
I'm
mean,
sure he's for hemp because hemp, farmers, Kentucky is an agricultural state, and I'm sure they grow hemp
well,
or could grow hemp.
I could be this could be, and I apologize if I'm like if I'm totally getting it wrong, but as I understand it, I think it has to do with the definition of hemp, right? And so hemp has theoretically, right, you can't get,
ACP
yeah, you're
properties, yeah.
right, your THC.
THC, you're right.
But you can't get high from it. But on the other hand, there's so much, I think, things going on agriculturally that what's, I mean, look what they've done to pot, right? The pot, it's not like your grandfather's or our pot when we were kids in
our pot
that grew in the fields of Illinois. It's not like,
when you guys used to smoke those quote unquote, you know, silk cigarettes. They were on silk, it was marijuana.
But you couldn't get high off of that either. But anyway, so I think that it has to do with the language of that and regulating what exactly is hemp and at what point does it sort of cross that line where it needs to be regulated. But my point is what's he doing that now for?
Because he's got, a lot of times one of Rampo's biggest admirers, at other times he goes, God damn it.
Well, here's the thing. This is where the Republicans need to knock it off, right? Because now you're going to have, every single congressional person, senator, come up with their weird little special interest thing, because this affects only his state, weird little special interest thing, and then we never get anything done. And so with the government open, but not open, it's like you want to just say, stop it. Although maybe he's just trying, again, hopefully that won't throw a kink in the whole thing, but I don't get the impression it will, but you never know. You never know, do you? I think Trump is.
I think that's why they got eight. They only really need, I think, five, but they got eight just so, Rand Paul couldn't pull those things.
Couldn't pull that thing. Okay, well, so that's that. We'll see what happens with that anymore. I don't know how you guys are, but I'm just kind of skeptical of anything ever getting done. It's like, and I will say, though, to Wayne Allen Root's point, it's like the shutdown was. Depending on who you were, like it didn't have very much impact on us. But we aren't traveling again until January, right? If you were traveling and flights are being canceled, and I know people who've been trying to get permits and regulations and stuff like that done. And, the Democrats want to hurt things, so they're making it as painful as they possibly can. And I think it was the longer it went on, the more they were going to come up with ways to do that. So I think it's time. And on one hand, he's right. And they've been making, the Democrats were getting a lot of headlines with all these poor starving children, right, who weren't getting their SNAP benefits, even though in Colorado, because of stupid voters, they get free lunches. What about breaking news now? The Ray Garcia with this, and we'll try to have him on Wednesday, with the Colorado Republican Party Central Committee had previously asked for a Central Committee meeting to essentially tell Britohorn to quit spending money well, first of quit spending money altogether that the party doesn't have, then to quit spending money on lawyers, to cease the lawsuits, and finally to hold a vote of essentially no confidence. Britta had 10 days to respond to that. She said she didn't have to because somebody filed, I guess one of the executive committee members raised like an issue.
Sandra Black.
Shauna.
Shauna?
Yeah.
Shauna Black.
The rules don't say anything about that, right? Nor did she set that hearing. So Ray Garcia has gone ahead and called his own special meeting, which is allowed under the bylaws for December 13th. And we'll see what happens. Meantime, I mean, the hope is, hopefully, that this will at least motivate Britta, because it's not...
Nothing motivates Britta.
No, it's not clear whether she would win at this, you know what I mean? If you're her, this is a big risk. She can control the executive committee, which is much smaller.
I don't know if she can control it.
I know. So what do you make of all of that?
Well, it's just you got this bovine cow as party chair who is incapable of anything. We just had an election where all she could put out... It's a fright video with herself on there looking worse.
Yeah, the
than
Republican
ever.
Party totally MIA in the last election.
Mandy Connell actually correctly stated, couldn't even put out a voter guide. I mean, there was an article in Rocky Mountain Voice, it hadn't been better articles, in which they talked about how the Jason Crow machine was great for Aurora and great for Democrats, it is Aurora. And Republicans have no.
Equivalent game. Ground game,
no,
yeah.
No ground game. No, yeah. Equivalent. No.
not even a piece of a.
Well, they used to do.
I have a dream.
I forget which horrible rhino, but they get up on a bridge and then they wave signs. And so they're waving signs while Democrats are going around the state collecting all the ballots.
Yeah.
It was an amazing sort of.
What do you think? So what's going to happen is, because then people may say, well, isn't that what Britain, those guys did with the coup? Kind of. The problem is they did not have the required signatures,
Right,
and they
right.
just went ahead. So Ray Garcia has the required signatures that meet the bylaws. The Brutta Horn, when they were trying to do the coup to throw out Dave, they did not have the required signatures. So Brutta, my guess is going to ignore this. It'll be interesting to see if she, they cleverly sent it out so it looked like it came from Brutta. I mean, it fooled me. Maybe it was just me.
That's not hard. But no. It fooled you.
But it looked very official.
It wasn't intended to fool. It's intended to say this is official.
That this is, well, yeah.
And it is official.
Yeah, and then it, you know, and then you caught it and said, no, 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 this is from Ray. But good for him for doing that. So there's a meeting, you know. If Brutta, you know, not, I was going to say if Brutta was smart, which is a silly thing to say.
That's what it's called.
If Brutta, I think she may be waiting for a couple
smart
of things.
Smart and Brutta is an oxymoron.
She may be waiting. The judge had indicated back to the lawsuits he might decide on some of these lawsuits before Thanksgiving. So if you're Brutta, maybe wait and see what happens there.
Do nothing. That's what she's good at. She's an excellent do-nothing person.
That would be my guess, that she's going to do nothing. And then we'll have the meeting, the State Central Committee members, of which we're part of, and, you know, hold the vote to see number one. I think whether you like Brutta or initially voted for her, I think there is a great...
Yeah, that's only two groups. There's a group who voted against her and the groups that voted for her but are sorry.
Yes. And I think even if you, I could see where people may be like, you know, okay, I'm not going to vote of no confidence or something like that. That's kind of, for some people. Yeah. For some Republicans, extreme. However, I think even among Brutta supporters or the original supporters, there's a great deal of concern about the money situation and the fact, and you've got even Mandy Connell, who's a Rhino cheerleader, saying, you know, where Brutta was MIA. She didn't say that, but she didn't even put out a voter guide. You've got that. It's like clearly Brutta hasn't been doing anything. She hasn't been restoring unity. She's been creating it, and she's been doing it all with money the party doesn't have. And so I could see that kind of thing happening.
We had a great election this last year, so this last November. So, yeah, we're doing great.
Yeah, I mean, she can't even say that. So we'll see what happens with that. But it's kind of interesting. My guess is, like you said, I bet she ignores it. And then she'll have to file another lawsuit when we do it and say, okay, you can't, you know. On one hand, I don't think it's going to go on too long where you have to tell her to quit spending money because there isn't any money to spend. So pretty soon...
Please give Brutta some money. So she,
So pretty soon what's going to happen is the people, I guess Alec, who she hired...
Poor Alec.
I know, there's not going to be
Alec
any money
is
for
this
him.
Nice little guy who they brought out from Florida, who was part of, I don't know what kind of Republican kind of group he was there, but said, oh, you need an executive director. You know, and said, Alec, get your little butt out there and get out in the fields and get your feet wet. But he comes here and he's in a mud bath. I mean, he's in a mud bath.
Quagmire.
And, you know, they promised to pay him all his money,
of which there isn't any.
I'm sure they...
And pretty soon she's not going to get any money, so that's not going to be very fun.
No.
And pretty soon Clenda, the attorney, is going to realize there is no money.
Yeah.
So he's going to quit, you know.
No.
He's going to quit filing lawsuits. He's going to be like, I'm not filing any more lawsuits. So it may all just kind of take care of itself. There'll be a vote of no, even if there's a
that's
vote
like
of
a
no.
Car wreck and say, forget about it. Just leave the cars out on the highway. It'll take care of itself. It doesn't, it's not going to take care of itself.
No, it won't. She'll still be the chair. So, but she's not doing anything and she's not going to have anybody to do it for her. Clenda is not going to be able to file lawsuits. So we'll see. But it is a mess. And, you know, you'd think that at this point she might be willing, because I know people have been reaching out to her saying, can we have a powwow? Can we find out, you know, ways that maybe we can kind of work together and try to put this back on track? And she shows no interest in that. The unity chair has zero interest in doing anything to try to reestablish some unity, even talking. You'd think as a party chair, she'd be willing to talk to people, but
No, but she's too dumb. So, you know, they're afraid they're going to do that Star Wars. These are not the drones you're looking for. And she go, okay, I'll go there.
So anyway, that's all there. The other thing I wanted to talk about today, and this is, and I'm going to get your take on the legal theory. So Trump has issued pardons to 77 people, including Sidney Powell, John Eastman, Rudy Giuliani, who were involved in election integrity issues. What's interesting is I don't think all of them, but many of them are not actually federal cases.
Well, the one in Arizona is not a federal case. The one in Atlanta is not a federal case.
And if you want to read Margo Cleveland in The Federalist got its hands on the memo. No, it might be out there other places now too.
Okay.
And it's convoluted and complicated, but it's worth the read. As I understand it, the Trump administration, they're taking a page from the Democrats and Fannie Willis, although this is legit, but they're being creative. And they're saying, since these people were defending federal election laws, therefore I can trump, so to speak, the state elections. The state rules, because I have jurisdiction, I guess, and therefore I have the ability to pardon them. And then we'll get to Tina Peters in a second. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think the theory, I think, has some validity, although I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to do it. You know, these DAs and everyone else are going to go, no. And so what do? You send the federal troops, you arrest them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, how do you impose them? Well, they're pardoned. Well, yeah, great. Well, you know, the court will be on Wednesday, so you better show up. And the judge will kind of, no, I don't recognize the pardon. State court judge, I'm not gonna. So I don't know what happens next. I don't expect the Democrats, given their lawfare type of thing, go, oh, okay.
Right.
All right, well, you know, I guess we just dismiss those.
And Charlene hit it on the head, where there's a will, there's a way. What I like about this, Charlene, is at least the Trump administration is giving the judges some place to hang their hat. As we all know, and we've seen before, you know, in New York, and with Judge Boasberg, a judge can kind of do whatever they want, and then everybody's got to fight about it, right? So if they can file this and they can get, you know, Trump says they pardoned him, and they can get, say, a state judge in Florida to say, yep, they're pardoned, right?
Well, it won't be able to do that, because the case they're not state court judges. What will happen is they'll appeal a habeas corpus or some other motion in federal district court,
right,
in Arizona and down in Atlanta. But if they get a Republican judge, then maybe they don't, you know, no. So it's
glad to see him doing it, though, right? It's like,
well, I mean, you know, everybody who's ever practiced law, when you first go to law school, you think everything's black and white, that there's two sides, and you know, you just read it, and there's a better argument or worse. No, there are two sides to everything, and who's right and who's wrong depends on a lot of tangential
judge
facts.
Things.
Yeah,
and Charlene, at least get transferred to a cushy federal prison. Well, that's what, that kind of brings me to federal to Tina Peters.
I'm not sure that Englewood is. Oh, they're now in Texas. That's right.
Well, it's, you know, it's, yeah, well, it's better than I think the Colorado Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. Tina Peters, last week, the Justice Department filed a motion asking the Colorado Department Colorado Department of Corrections to transfer Tina to a federal facility.
Yes.
Now, what that means is not clear, but in one hand, you want to think maybe they want to get her out of the Colorado prison so then Trump can pardon her. Is she going to be a witness? I mean, Trump told Polis, he said, free her. She's a political prisoner. You know, she was doing exactly what they argued that Margo Cleveland pointed out. She was trying to do essentially defend election laws,
right?
And which are kind of covered by the federal government, even though hers was she was in the Mesa County. Clearly that's a weird move. Now, the problem is, so why they're doing it, it's not clear. It could be that there is an investigation going on, which they've said they're going to do, and she might be a witness. So they want to get her out of the Colorado prison system so they can get her into the federal prison system so they can have her come testify before a grand jury or something
and
like that.
It would make her life a lot more pleasant.
Right. Or maybe it's just to do that, right? It's like, because I don't think any of the other people he pardoned were not actually behind bars, right?
No, none yet.
So Tina's the only one, so maybe that's it. My guess is, and it's a pretty good guess, Jared Polis isn't going to go, oh, okay. I mean, the Department of Corrections, keep in mind, the chief is appointed by Polis.
Right.
So the chief will
do. What
do
you think, chief?
Yeah. The chief will say, what do you think, Jared? Mm-hmm. You know, so he'll do whatever Jared Polis says. But it is interesting. And again, Charlene, I like you, where there's a will, there's a way. If you just kind of keep at it, right, and you let them know, I mean, how much better, at least from morale and everything, to say, you know, no, we're not going to abandon you. And that's what Trump was saying in this memo. The Department of Justice is saying, these people fought hard to protect, and we're not just going to abandon them. We're not just going to abandon John Eastman and say, oh, well, too bad, like Mike Pence wants to do, right?
Sort of. A little late, but yeah. gone on for a year and a half and cost them everything, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Trump had to get it. I mean, you know, it's only been since January. So I think this is all good. And it's a good sign. And, you know, and as Wayne Allyn Root was saying at the beginning of the show, it's like hopefully his lawsuit, if he makes any kind of progress, will encourage other people to go forward too. And hopefully this kind of thing too. One of the biggest things, keep in mind, that Jenna Griswold and those people, by filing lawsuits against Ash App and, you know, and Tina Peters, is to shut them up. And to say, you know, hey, you raise any kind of questions about this, we'll put you behind bars, right? And we'll do everything we can to destroy your livelihood. So hopefully, you know, at least you've got Trump coming to bat for you. I don't know. I don't think does, and you're here, I'm gonna ask you a lawyer question. Does the Trump administration, the Department of Justice, it goes back to what you said, you know, they're, she's behind bars now. They can issue what, a writ of habeas corpus, and they could,
No, they can't issue and then go to court and ask
they
the
can
court
ask.
to issue a
Okay,
report.
and then the court could, but then the Colorado court could refuse to recognize it, right?
That'd be, I don't think I've ever heard of a state court, now these are new times, refusing a writ of habeas corpus for given by federal, you know, that might be a crime. You know, to say no. And you go, okay, you're going to jail. So,
Well,
but
but
the trouble is, you know, the vast majority of the district court judges in Colorado are either Obama or Biden appointees, and they're probably not going to issue a writ of habeas corpus for
would it
Tina
have to come
Peters.
from Colorado? Or could it
Yes,
come from,
I
okay.
don't think they could have. You know, she's in Colorado. She's in prison in Colorado. It's, I don't think you could have a court issue it from
Now, what
Tina.
if though, because I was thinking, if they want to do that, why not just call her as a witness and essentially you subpoena her. I mean, I've seen that happen before. That happens all the time, right? If somebody's in custody, but they're a witness in the case, the courts, now sometimes I've seen immigration cases where it gets kind of confusing about where judges, how do I say it, jails move slowly, but eventually they do. I mean, so if the federal government were to say Tina Peters is a witness in this case and she's been subpoenaed, then that would be a way to get her
Well,
transferred,
they
wouldn't
may
it?
ignore the subpoena.
Can they do that? Well, goes to record like
Yeah, I could do that if they, you know, they just go no.
so I just I'm curious. I find it curious about why not do that, and maybe it is because they're, you know, they don't want to let people know what the investigation is for, because that would have to be, you know, if there was an investigation. No, I think anyway, I think it was good that they're doing it. And
I agree. I think it's good whether it'll work or not. I think it's a bit of a long shot, but I might as well give it a shot.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Jared Polis is just gonna, I imagine if you're him, and Phil Weiser,
Still, I mean,
he's not gonna do anything.
the Dami of Colorado.
he's not gonna say okay. But it is, you know, the kind of back to Wayne Allyn Root. There was a time when, you know, you were banned and you were shamed and you were crazy for saying anything about COVID, and those days are long gone. And I think the same is true with election integrity, right? You know, you have some people who still, no matter what, the liberal media, they never pause. Anytime you say something, they go, "Oh, election denier." It's like a COVID denier or climate change denier. No one even believes that anymore, right? It's clear there were issues with the election. To what extent you can quibble about that, but to say we have a gold standard, you know.
For cheating, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, no one, wouldn't you say, I mean, those days when the mere thought of challenging or raising questions about, hey,
Well, I
you know.
remember Ken Buck. Ken Buck is the one who parroted the line. He's got the gold standard. At least, you know, even as bad as our congressmen, Republican congressmen are, they're not going, oh, yeah, this would be, we got the gold standard here.
Well, and you know, yeah, so we'll see. And back to the lawsuit issue, did you see too, Donald Trump, you know, the BBC grossly edited his January
Isn't
6th
that nuts?
speech.
Wow, it really was a
Yeah.
bad hatchet job of a,
So two people there resigned.
well, the head of the
Yeah,
operation, you know.
right, resigned. And then, and I think then the vice chair or something like that. And then Trump said he's going to file a lawsuit against them anyway, like he has for ABC, CBS, all these other places. That's the one way you get their attention, right? And say, is it really worth it to you to have to deal with all of this for that kind of edit? And oh, by the way, we noticed that. And oh, by the way, I haven't forgotten, you know?
Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. I don't know. Well, it kind of somewhat changes things, but you know, the liberal media is still the liberal media. So we'll see
The
about
liberal
that.
media isn't the liberal media anymore. I mean, it's, you know, CBS isn't, you know, they're dying, you know, with a dying breath. They're sort of amending and changing and everything else. And the Washington Post editorial page, it is, you know, it used to be unanimous. And now that unanimity is really kind of going. And, I think probably cable TV is going to crater pretty soon. I mean, I find myself more and more just not tuning in to Fox or whoever else it'd be, but just, going to my podcast one and go, oh, yeah, I'll get Mark Halperin two-way. Yeah, that's good. Oh, I'll get this, I'll get that, rather than turning on the TV set. So I have a feeling all of TV is good. And so, we will. Even more than we are already, we'll be more of a kind of a bifurcated world where, you're talking to somebody and they're kind of, what?
Yeah, but no, you're right. They have no. They still think the Hunter Biden laptop was
It's good.
real, right? Well, but yeah, and they don't cover the Arctic Frost stuff. They don't cover.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, I'm not sure if everybody heard it, but I don't gateway pundit. They said, okay, this firm has decided that this woman's who's with the FBI and then or Capitol Police and then went with the CIA and some faction of the security guard was in fact the person who placed the bombs. And they say they did it because of her gait. She's got a slight limp and this woman had her broke her leg playing soccer and has a slight limp. And but how you would pick out of 30 million people, oh yeah, okay, yeah, there it is. But anyway, they've identified her as the Capitol Hill bomb placer, which would expose the entire a plot that it's a Fed insurrection and not a riot at the Capitol, but it's gone nowhere. I mean, it's Gateway Pundit and then a conservative treehouse, but I haven't seen it everywhere else. You would think what would happen is that the woman would come out and say, "It's not me. Are
Well,
you
yeah,
kidding me?"
here's what I think on that. Having been a reporter and kind of covered that kind of stuff, my guess is, I mean, like you said, how do they didn't the Blaze reporter didn't just pick her out of nowhere, right?
Hey, that woman's got a little bit of a limp.
Somebody somewhere has evidence that led them to her, and then they kind of backtracked it.
Probably the FBI knew the whole time that the urban that furthers up were blocked there.
You'd think that if it was not her, she would be suing them already.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I don't know, although Glenn Beck was not saying her name on the air today. So I'm not sure what it is. If I have to say this, if I were, I like the way the conservative treehouse did it. If I were reporting it, I would attribute it. I would say they have, identified this person.
I'll just put a ledge before everything. I'm not saying it's true. This has been alleged potential. You can put enough qualifiers in so you don't make a statement of fact.
Again, the reason this is important, go back to, so they needed, Nancy Pelosi needed a couple of things. She needed to certify the election real quick. She didn't want to have any questions raised about election integrity. So they had, I think, kind of a two-tier plan. They had these pipe bombs. I mean, you could tell, we did a show on this before, where you can watch when the police and the Secret Service guys, and they're alerted to the fact that there's a pipe bomb there. They don't even get out of the car to go look at it for a while. They don't like clear the area. They don't go, oh my God. And not only that, they don't leave, right? They just go up and they, oh, look, you know what I mean?
Well, you
It's
think
like,
you could get them on the stand
yeah.
and say, really? I mean,
It'd
really?
be easy to prove if somebody wanted to, right? It'd be easy to prosecute
But
if,
it hasn't gone anywhere, so
no, but I think,
very
and
strange,
but what
very
they
strange.
did is that, and then they had the Fed insurrection too, and all of that enabled, I mean, it worked much better, I think, than they could in their wildest dreams. But that was the whole point, to be able to certify the election without anyone having any discussion about election integrity, and to go ahead and throw the whole country into turmoil, throw everything in turmoil, launch all of this stuff about Trump. I mean, it was a convoluted but fairly successful plot. But
Fairly,
yeah,
yeah.
which, well, Trump is president again, so it didn't, and he's pissed off.
Well, not for not trying.
But anyway, that's something to keep your eye on too. I have a feeling we'll be hearing and seeing more about that because
Well, if there's not, then it's just the weirdest thing
you
ever.
think sometimes I got to wonder about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, though, Charlene, to your point.
They don't seem to have, and Pam Bondi seems to be lost over there, just lost. And Kash Patel, and neither one of them is an FBI agent or knows anything about the FBI, and therefore I think they can't control the kind of, oh, what's his name? Is it big?
You'd think, I mean, you'd think it'd be fairly easy for them to come out if the story was not true and say, well, and I think they had connections enough. You'd think that if the story, when I was a reporter, you would do this, right? I would have something pretty solid, and then I would turn to somebody who knew, who would know, right? And I trusted, and I would say, wave me off if I'm wrong. Do you know what I mean? And then they would say something like, well, you know, I can't comment, which was my sign that I was not wrong, right? And so,
Proven.
Yeah, well, no, and then you would feel comfortable going with the story. I mean, and your boss, you would say to your boss, okay, no one's waving me off. So my hope would be, and my assumption would be that somebody at the Blaze had some kind of contact with somebody in the FBI and said...
Because the FBI, it said they staked out her house and then one day it was just gone. So
right.
Some of those FBI agents around that stakeout probably said, wait a minute.
Right. And Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, I'm sure, have some sense. And you would think that that if it were totally not true, they would have come out and said so. But anyway, that's something else to keep your eye on. Well, that's good. Anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nope, that's about it.
All right, that'll wrap it up for us. We will see you. Thank you to Thomas, everybody on Zoom, Wayne, Alan, Root. We'll see everybody. And we'll. I promise, I found the video.
Oh, did we get a video?
We'll have a party Wednesday video.
We're going to have a party one of these Wednesdays video.
All right. Hey, everybody. See you later.
Take care, everybody.